Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to The Cross in the Desert, speaking hope and freedom to Iran. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble, and I want to say once again, thank you so much for taking time out of your busy life to join me today on my podcast. Today is Thursday, March 9th, 2023. It is exactly 12 days until the official start of spring, and a lot of my Iranian friends, despite the uprising, despite the violence and the chaos in Iran, will still celebrate the Persian New Year known as Nowruz. It is quite elaborate. They have a ceremony kind of a few days beforehand where they leap over fire. There's a very specific name for that, and I can't for the life of me pronounce it. But it is symbolizing leaving darkness for light. It is welcoming the spring equinox. It is a new beginning. And believe me, as long as I have been celebrating this with my Iranian friends, this year they are hoping and praying and believing for a new beginning. Just recently, I talked about the incredible chemical attack against Iranian schoolgirls, which is the latest in the torture and in the persecution of women in Iran. And it reminds me back in 2014 when there's an acid attack against the women in Isfahan. And the government sat by and did nothing. It doesn't matter if it's government directly or some fringe fundamentalist groups trying to keep women or young girls from attending school. It doesn't matter. They need to take charge of this situation and bring to justice those that are involved. But something tells me deep down inside that this is the latest government-orchestrated event to get revenge on these young schoolgirls for simply on videos on social media protesting against the government and what's going on. You think you've heard it all and seen it all, and then you wake up the next day and there is another horrific attack against the people of Iran. I am awaiting my friend Chris, who will in the next couple of days, very busy guy, involved with making films. He will be uploading my new book, Uprising, to Amazon Kindle Direct Publishing. And very soon I will have it available in both Kindle and paperback for you. But what I want to do this morning, I want to introduce to you a very, very special friend. Her name is Heather Joy. She is the co-author of my latest book. We're going to be discussing the plight of one particular Iranian person. His name is Tomaj Salehi. He's a rapper. But we'll be discussing a few other of the stories in the book. So this is going to be a really fun conversation this morning. And our purpose for getting together is just to introduce our new book and to talk about the issues in the book. It's going to be brief because we want to focus in on the man that we are following that is in prison. His name is Tomaj Salehi. We'll be talking about him briefly, too. but it's an opportunity for you to listen to Heather. She's one of the authors in the book. And so she'll be coming along just in a second here, and we'll be having a discussion for the next 30 or so minutes about Uprising and talking to you about this book that we're so excited about, to bring awareness to the plight of our dear Iranian friends. And so what I want to do is just let you know that she is here right now. Good morning, Heather, and welcome to The Cross in the Desert. So glad that you could stop by.
Good morning, Randy. Glad to be here.
I was just sharing with our listening audience the book that we both wrote together, and we're going to be talking about one particular person in the book, but you had an opportunity in our book, Uprising, We Are the Revolution, to interact with two particular women in the Woman Freedom Life Movement. And one of those women is Serena Esmelzeda. Now, you wrote her story, and I thought before we talk about Tomaj this morning, I want to focus in on two particular women. And first of all, just introduce yourself, because I think it's been a while since you've been on. And then let's talk about two of the women that you wrote about.
Sure, Randy. So for those of you who don't know me, hello. My name is Heather, and I have been a prophetic voice for Iran for about 16 years now.
It was just a really wonderful experience to connect with you, Heather. Like I've said before to many of my listeners, I didn't know how many other people out there had the same passion for Iranians, but you definitely do. And I'm so glad that the Lord brought us together. This is a very emotional book, a very intense book, Heather, because
yes,
we are talking about young women. Most of them are no longer with us. They've given their lives for freedom. They became, I guess, I don't like to use these terms, but they became well-known media stars for their martyrdom. And I talk about Mahsa Amini and Hadas Najafi and Nika Shakarami in the book. But you had the opportunity to talk to someone that the Lord put on your heart, and it's Serena Esmelzeda. Tell us a little bit about who Serena was and why she's so special to you.
Absolutely. Yeah, so I was not expecting, when I started writing her story, I was not expecting the emotions that would come with that. Serena was just a beautiful soul. She had so much zest for life. She loved hanging out with friends. She loved cooking, and she was an up-and-coming social media influencer. And as I began putting her story together, she became like a sister to me. And just the amount of courage at her age, at 16 years old, the amount of courage she had to be able to not only rise up and be a part of the revolution, but also to be willing to give her life in the line of freedom. And she became so special to me because it was, you know, I never had the opportunity to meet her personally, but it was like she was almost like she was sitting right next to me as I was putting her story together. You know, I was kind of a fly on the wall, so to speak, in her conversations with friends or her vlog videos or just, you know, seeing what her day was like, and just a normal teenager in Iran who just had so much going for her. She had such a bright future ahead of her. And so for her to be willing to set that aside and say, hey, like, my country is, you know, in dire straits, and freedom is something that's important. You know, I think too many times in the West, we take for granted our rights. And when you come from a nation that is so oppressive and that has basically stripped you of your rights, the only thing that you can do is stand against that. And she was willing, even at her age, to join in with her friends, who were also, I believe, 16, 17, kind of that range, and really just say, hey, this is what we're fighting for.
You took the reader through an ordinary day where she met up with her friends, but at the end of the day, after school, after English class, they decided to be a voice for all women in Iran, especially Mahsa Amini. And this was early on in the uprising. And I can't imagine having to write this story and describe what happened to her. But I think even more intense was the way you described how it had affected her mother. Can you take us through that briefly?
Yeah, so that was one scene that was definitely hard to write. As a feeler, I tend to place myself in the emotions behind what people go through. And so if you don't know, for those who are listening, her mom actually committed suicide about 3 days after Serena passed away. And she actually waited until her husband left for work, and then she went to her room and I think a couple other places in the house to find what she needed. She did find a rope and a stool, and she actually went to her bedroom and set the stool down. And at that point, she was kind of hesitant at first. Grief. She wanted to be reunited with Serena, and she ended up stepping on that stool and hanging herself. And just the amount of grief, if you've never been through grief like that, it's definitely something that can consume you. And, you know, she went through a couple of days actually prior to her suicide where she woke up and the house was not the same because Serena wasn't there. And Serena just had such a bubbly personality. She had a great laugh. And so to not hear her laugh, to not hear her voice, to know that she's not here anymore, that grief is just unimaginable.
What I found was so beautiful, though, at the end of the story, and again, God connects you in a special way with Iranians just like me, but you had a profound kind of prophetic dream about Serena in the afterlife. You want to share that?
Yeah, Randy, I did. And it was one of the most beautiful dreams I've had in a long time. But as I was going to sleep, I dreamed about Serena because I had spent days and days, you know, writing her story and just watching her videos and just missing her all the more. And in this dream, I saw Serena in a meadow. And she was in a meadow and she had some flowers in her hand. And as she's standing there, and the atmosphere is so peaceful, there's no death, there's no pain, there's no, you know, oppression. And there's a white figure that shows up, and he comes behind her. And she senses that, and she turns around, and she looks at him. And as she looks at him, he extends her hand to her, and Serena takes it. And this figure, who I would come to know as Jesus, basically twirls her in this meadow and just looks at her with such joy. And her facial expression was just full of joy as well. And it was the Serena that we know, that her family knew, that her friends knew, that I began to sense as I watched her videos and, you know, really placed myself in her shoes and her life. And it was absolutely beautiful.
That was just a beautiful ending to a story that was really in parts filled with tragedy, but you became so close to her, you even called her your sister. And what a great story that was. Now, I want to touch a little bit on this next story because it relates to your past. For those that don't know Heather, she has been the victim of some horrific sexual abuse as a younger teenager, and she has suffered through that and has gone through the healing process, and God has used her in a unique way to touch base with Iranian women and just talk to them and pray for them, who they themselves have been victims, as you know, living in Iran, of sexual abuse. But I want to just touch on Armida Abbasi. I wrote about her in the story, but I felt like it needed your touch to it because you have suffered from this abuse. Armida Abbasi was a prominent leader in the uprising early on, just a few days after Mahsa Amini was murdered. She was, of course, arrested, and on the way to jail, according to an eyewitness, she was gang raped and suffered abuse. She was let out on bail recently, but you had some things to say in this story, and I know you used the word, I wish I could talk to her, but share with our listeners what, some of the things you said as if you were talking to Armida in that story.
Yeah, Randy. So I have been through sexual assault and rape as well, and I really connected with Armida in that way. And so, you know, for me going through the healing process of that, you know, I was one that I always, in the public eye, I was the happy-go-lucky. You know, everybody knew me as a happy-go-lucky person. You know, everything was great. Life was great. But what they didn't see was behind the scenes. Behind the scenes is when the real battle for healing was. That was where all the tears were shed. That was where the doubts and the thoughts would creep into my mind of just feeling unworthy and feeling dirty. And, you know, praise God that Armida is now released. But there's also, you know, trying to connect with women like Armida who have been through the same heinous act, and just, you know, wondering, you know, how is she handling that and going through that journey, that healing journey, and so just, you know, resonating with that, and yeah, being able to, if I had the opportunity to minister to her directly, I would love that. But it's just one of those things where those of us who have been through sexual assault and rape, please be patient with us, you know, because the healing process is just as long as the private battle after the incident. So be patient with us, believe us, believe our story. And I think that's the hardest thing too, is, you know, we have an issue in America with rape culture, but if you can imagine in Iran, especially for women, there's no representation. There's no representation. There's no justice. Instead, it's the victim actually incurs more, not only judgment, but more punishment on top of what has already happened. And so I can only imagine, you know, Armida working through that in the midst of a culture and a nation that is oppressive and seeks to demean women, especially women who have been sexually assaulted and raped, because they want to keep women from, and I think you mentioned this before, Randy, but they want to keep women from being able to enter paradise. And
yes, this was back when Khomeini became the supreme leader of Iran after the revolution. One of the things that he believes so strongly in is that female protesters, especially women, the way that you keep them from entering paradise is that you rape them so they're no longer virgins. And so this was the practice then, and is still the practice today. That's what I think they did to Armida. She was a prominent leader of protests. And that bothers the man or the men-centered culture. They hate women being successful and standing up. And so they wanted to teach her a lesson.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that's the thing, is like my prayer for Armida is that she's able to recognize that she still has purity. She still has purity within her. That's something that I've had to come to grips with, is for a while I really struggled, and even some days, you know, on my off days, I still struggle with it. But the battle for purity as a woman going through this is just another hurdle to overcome. And my only prayer is that she can, you know, reach that place in her own journey of healing from this and recognize that she is pure and that she is lovely. I talked with another Iranian woman. This was years and years ago, who was also sexually assaulted. She was also actually gang raped, like Armida. And as I began ministering to her, the Lord spoke to me, and he said he wanted me to give her the message. And he said to her, "Daughter, you are not dirty. You are loved." And I remember her hearing those words, and she let out like a sigh of relief, and then she broke down. And it was just, you know, those moments where you can be with somebody in the deepest and the darkest trials. Oftentimes I don't feel qualified, but I thank the Lord that he has placed me where he has placed me and allowed me to cross paths with, you know, those who are hurting, the hurting and the lost and the outcast, and to be able to minister the Father's heart. I will never take it for granted.
It reminds me of the scene with Jesus and the woman caught in adultery. And he pointed out to those religious leaders, "Let you who are without sin cast the first stone." And then he said to the woman, and I'm thinking this is like you, saying to that Iranian woman, "Where are your accusers? They're nowhere. Go and sin no more." He showed such compassion to this woman caught in adultery. And likewise, being like Jesus, you did the same with this Iranian woman. What a beautiful scene. Now,
yes, absolutely.
On February 5th, that under the new category of social activism, the Grammy Awards came to light, and Shervin Hajipour was given a Grammy Award, even though obviously he's not there. He is out on bail in Iran. Shervin Hajipour wrote the big anthem for this woman life freedom movement called Barari. And it's such an incredible song, and it was made such an impact worldwide. Iranian Americans, whenever they would have rallies, would sing this song by Shervin. Of course, he was arrested. 60 million people saw him perform this song. He was arrested, put in jail. They canceled his Instagram account. He was just let out a few months ago. But he won a Grammy Award for a song. Now, there is someone else that we want to make known to our audience, someone that you have such a powerful connection with, and it's the subject of today's program. Another artist, I think he's well known too. He has a worldwide following. He is an Iranian rapper, Tomash Salehi. You wrote his story in our book, Uprising, We Are the Revolution. This is a fascinating story. This is a really powerful journey. I want his name to be remembered specifically on today's broadcast. So I want you to talk to us and in depth tell us about Tomash, what he's going through, and how you've connected especially with him.
Thank you, Randy. Yeah, I really I've connected with Tomash in a pretty radical way, for lack of a better term. Tomash is dubbed the son of Iran. He has a wide influence, not only across Iran, but even globally now. And he stood for human rights. He stood for, standing against oppression, standing against tyranny, really. And so he worked as a day laborer. That was his main job, but his true passion was music. And in the same way, I connected with him. I personally write poetry. And he just has an amazing heart of compassion and leadership, and I think that's why people flock to him and are willing to listen to him and listen to what he has to say. But it's because of his career in music that he has been arrested multiple times by the IRGC, and just recently he was arrested October 30th of 2022, and it's been interesting to see the way that God has grown my gift as an intercessor. Tomaj is somebody that is a hero to me, just the way that he carries himself and the way that he stands against injustice. He stands against oppression. And he said something really prominent. He said, if you're not willing to join us in the fight, don't bother fighting for my release. And I thought about that last night as I was preparing for this. And what came to mind is that evil pervades where good men stay silent. Mm-hmm. And so for Tomaj to say, hey, like, you need to join us in the fight, essentially he's challenging people to not stay silent, to get involved and to really speak out against tyranny, against human rights abuses. And so knowing Tomaj's story and you know, the torture that he's been under for over 3 months now, the Lord would actually wake me up in the middle of the night as Tomaj was being beaten, and I could feel it in my body. I could feel the punches that he was receiving from the IRGC. As of right now, we do know that he has lost eyesight in one eye. They did shoot him in the foot as well, so he does have a broken foot and many other injuries. He does have broken ribs, so if you can imagine as a listener, just take a deep breath, inhale and exhale, and just sit in that moment, and even taking a simple breath, how grateful we are to be able to do that, because Tomaj is not able to do that as well right now. But he would wake me up in the middle of the night to pray and to pray over Tomaj and to just release healing and release things to come into alignment, bones to come into alignment. And it's been amazing, an amazing experience, because I've grown in humility. And even though I have yet to meet, I've also had many dreams where I truly believe in my heart of hearts that Tomaj and I will connect at some point. When, I don't know, but to be able to have that opportunity, Tomaj is one that the Lord has already spoken to me directly and said that Tomaj has a prophetic destiny upon his life. And so my deepest prayer is that Tomaj would walk in that prophetic destiny, that the Lord would reveal that to him. Because I think as much as he is revered now, there is coming a greater impact that he's going to make worldwide. And he's already started that. But just stepping into that prophetic ability, and he doesn't realize it. But he's so, when you listen to his interviews and his videos, and the way that he encourages people even, he just has such compassion and such a humbleness about him that you don't come across in many people, I've noticed, in my many years of ministry. So I'm excited to see, you know, what will happen down the line and where God will lead Tomaj. And if you're listening to this, keep him in prayer. If you are, especially if you're a believer, keep him in prayer. If you're not, you know, still just think, if you can, about him. And even if it pulls on your heart, get involved. There are different ways that you can bring awareness to not only the plight in Iran, but also his case as well.
Now, you follow him on Instagram, and Instagram, I think, has put together an update almost every day, or they will feature some of the things that he has said. And one of the things that really impresses me is the way that he speaks about freedom. On his Instagram site, there's a picture of him writing, like he's writing a song, and the quote is, "A human being is nothing without freedom. He has a profound way with words, Heather.
Yes.
And the way that we get involved by praying, I think, is so important. Besides making petitions and besides being a voice, intercessory prayer is something that is so important. And I know that meeting with you on Sunday, we pray pretty regularly for Tomaj, and you have outlined very well how the Lord has shared with you about his prophetic destiny. Like his brother Shervin, he has a way with words in his music. He is the leader of, I believe, the generation that will see the crumbling of this regime.
Yeah, I believe it. He, in an interview, they asked him what he or how he envisioned a free Iran. And he said that a free Iran would mean that Iranians would be able to experience joy, that Iranians would be able to walk down the street and not have to look over their shoulder. See, we're so comfortable in the West, but hearing him talk about joy, joy is actually illegal in Iran. And that's going to sound absolutely crazy to most Westerners who listen to this. But when I watched that interview, the Lord actually, a couple days later, I went into worship, and the Lord showed me that he would take part in the new Iran in a very peculiar way. And as I was given this vision, I saw a map of Iran, and kind of like almost like it was if you're peering from like a Zoom. And so I saw this map of Iran, and I'm seeing, you know, people walking, and it's sunny out, the birds are chirping, and I felt something on the back of my neck, and I look up, and there's a what looks to be like an old-fashioned pitcher, kind of like a pitcher that you would put lemonade in. But instead of lemonade, it was oil. And so there was oil being poured over the nation of Iran, of new Iran, the new Iran that is coming. And it was, I can't even do it complete justice. But I believe in my heart that Tomaj is definitely going to step into that prophetic destiny. And when I asked the Lord, what is that oil represent? He said anointing. And I believe that Tomaj has that anointing. He doesn't recognize it yet, but I surmise that he will. And I'm excited for the new Iran to come and for the regime to be completely crumbled.
Amen. You know, one of the great joys of writing this book with you is that we both had an opportunity to share a word or an insight or a prophecy about the new Iran. And that was the thing that was so powerful. At the very end of our book, after outlining the tragedy and the violence, I thought the appropriate ending, and as you've outlined with your vision, was this prophetic destiny for the nation of Iran, a new Iran.
Yes. Yeah, I definitely think, you know, Iran has faced, and Iranians as a people have faced so much tragedy, that to be able to give them hope and to be able to minister the Father's heart in the midst of chaos and violence and tragedy. Iranians are known for courage. They already possess the courage, but I think a lot of them, you know, and understandably so, but a lot of them are weary because to fight against tyranny does take a lot of energy out of you. And so I'm thankful that we were able to come together and be able to offer hope in that way and minister the Father's heart.
Exactly. I just want to say that I am so excited to have had the opportunity and the honor to write this book with you, and how the Lord has used you in such a profound way with Iranians. And I'm looking forward to how this book is going to be received when it comes out very, very soon. But I want to thank you, Heather, for sharing your heart this morning about the stories that you wrote with And along with those stories is your personal story in the book too. And focusing in on Tomasz, we want the Lord to free this man. He has a future, and we're convinced that no weapon formed against Tomasz, no plan of God's will be thwarted, but it will be successful, and he will be free.
Yes, I believe that wholeheartedly.
Thank you so much, Heather, for spending time with me this morning. The book is Uprising, We Are the Revolution. It'll be out very soon, probably just in time for Nowruz, the Persian New Year, Heather. But thank you for being my guest this morning and sharing your heart. God bless you, and I hope to talk to you very soon again.
Yes, God bless you, Randy. Thank you for having me on, and it's a pleasure to connect with you and minister the Father's heart.
Amen, and you did such a good job of it, Heather. God bless you.
Thank you.
My co-author and prayer partner, Heather Joy, a tremendous human being. What a love she has for the Iranian people. It's so obvious. I want to feature in the last couple of minutes here of my program a song I want to dedicate to the women of Iran who are fighting for survival. This is something called Unstoppable, and the artist is called Saya.
I'll smile on what it takes to fool this town. I'll do it till the sun goes down and all through the night time. Oh yeah, oh yeah, I'll tell you what you wanna hear. Keep my sunglasses on while I shed a tear. It's never the right time. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm moving.
That is a powerful song, an anthem, I think, that women could use the words in a very powerful way as they fight every day for freedom. They are fighting for their survival. As I mentioned in the top of the broadcast, and we didn't touch on it in our interview, but I wanted to just say again, do you understand, listener, what it would be like to live under a chemical attack? Now, we've been through COVID, and that was pretty severe. So were the Iranians. They had no help. The supreme leader in the beginning wanted to ban the vaccine. And in the end, there was some leverage made so the vaccine was made available. But again, that's a whole other subject. Don't want to get into that. But think of a chemical attack. Think of the lungs of these young girls and have been damaged in some ways, irreplaceable. I can't even begin to fathom, and Heather touched on it, the fact that we live in the West, we have no idea. We take our freedom so much for granted that these young women are being assaulted in so many ways, and now a chemical attack. This is why we wrote this book. We wrote this book to bring awareness and to bring hope for the Iranians, hope and freedom in Christ. And we did it in a way that wasn't so preachy, but made the point. And the point is, we need to get behind the Iranian people. Now, we touched extensively today on Tomash Salehi. We want you to get involved and make his case known everywhere. How do you do that? Take the broadcast today. Share it on your social media pages. Don't just listen to it. Share it. Put it out there. I have pictures all over my Facebook of Tomash and some of the quotes from his. It's right here in the module for the podcast. Take those pictures. Put it on your Facebook page. Share this podcast as many places as possible. We need to do this together. We need to be vigilant in praying for him, but we also need to share his hope for freedom. And we do it by taking the testimony, the story that Heather shared, and put it out there. Now, of course, when the book comes out very, very soon, we're asking, please go up and get it on Amazon. It's called Uprising. We are the revolution. We are not, again, repeat, not just trying to sell books. We want you to know what's going on in Iran in a very personal way. These stories are well-crafted and put together in a very personal way for you to share. And we're going to be talking about this for a long time. Believe me, this revolution, this uprising is by no means over. There may be a pause with Nowruz coming up in just about 12 days, but believe me, the Iranian people are fierce and they're courageous and they're sacrificial. As you'll read, when you read the stories in our book, Uprising, We Are the Revolution. I want to thank you for joining me. Thanks once again to my dear friend Heather and co-author. God bless you for being part this morning. And again, I can't say this enough. I don't mean to be repetitious. If you listen to this broadcast, share it on your social media page. Let's make Tomash known all over the world.